Salah Hart is the kaiwhakahaere of Māori Health and Advocacy Group Hāpai Te Hauora and joins me now. Kia ora, are the recommendations and proposals aggressive enough, do you think?
Oh, kia ora, Lisa. Yes, I think that what we've got in this document out for consultation now is some world-leading approaches. But I think that what we've got to be really mindful of is getting the community alongside us and with an in-depth consultation process over the next 6 weeks, hearing the voices of those most impacted, Māori and Pacific, will help us to guide and shape this thing so that it doesn't add another area of contentious, or it doesn't further perpetuate the harm that they're already experiencing because of the addiction to tobacco.
What do you think the most significant thing the government could do to help Māori give up smoking?
I think you have to really take a step back and you have to understand that Māori need to be in the decision-making seats at the legislative or policy level, because what we can see is, there's a heap of potential for investment into the stop smoking services or the sort of end of the line stuff around supporting those who are already hooked or addicted to help them quit, and that's great. But actually, how are we building a bit of a dam upstream? What that looks like is tackling the tobacco industry and the tactics that they have. They've got huge revenue behind them that they can do some pretty swift media and marketing, but actually at the end of the day they're selling a product that kills people. It kills approximately 4,500. That's the whole township of Putaruru in the Waikato every single year. And so if we frame it in that sense, why are we allowing this thing to still happen? So we need Māori leadership, governance, decision-making and all of those things upstream. We also need to heavily invest in an equitable ratio of funding at the other end to support those who are addicted. And then throughout that whole process, we need to understand and unpack all of the impacts of poverty, homelessness and all of the things that drive our people to continue to be addicted to tobacco.
You talk about the big companies there, right? And we know that, well, we don't know for sure, but up to 8,000 outlets that sell cigarettes. What do you think the strategy of tobacco companies is in terms of the spread of those outlets, if there's a strategy?
Yeah. Well, obviously, we can see there's an absolute saturation in our low socioeconomic communities of liquor outlets, fast food outlets, tobacco retailers. And so what they've done is they've cleverly placed their products where they know they'll make some revenue. I think that what we've got to do is we've got to really make it an even playing field. And so when we're talking about, or through this plan, it's talking about the decoupling of tobacco products with retail. And so that could be the local dairy, the supermarket, the gas station. And so we've got to, I suppose, support those locally owned businesses, especially our dairy owners, to ensure that they are supported in a way that makes it an even playing field. So if we can't have one dairy that can sell it in one community and one around the corner that can't, because then you will have an uneven playing field for them.
So, Salah, do you want it out of dairies altogether, put it in pharmacies instead or something similar?
I don't know whether pharmacies is the right thing. I know that it would be really great from a quitting support service mechanism, but I don't know whether that's the right place. I also don't think that we should be coupling tobacco with alcohol, so that, definitely not into liquor stores. But I think what we might have to do or explore is making R18 specialist stores, such as a tobacconist. And that might be harking back a few years to actually creating a new shop. But if we heavily reduce the amount of retailers that exist now, we're actually going to denormalise tobacco for the future generation. And so we talk about the smoke-free generation, pacing an age purchase limit where eventually some people will not be able to purchase. And I'm really, really behind that. I think it's a huge bold
move. Are you? Because some people say, some other advocates say, that the young people aren't the real problem, that there are much fewer smokers coming through in those younger age groups. What are you seeing, though?
As a general population, yes, there is an absolute decrease in the overall population of young people smoking. We've also got to be very mindful of the vaping population, but where it's impacting most is Māori communities. So let's not, don't get me wrong. Generally, we might be doing really well across the stats, but we're not doing very well for Māori rangatahi, and we're also not doing well enough for Māori wahine. And so when we think about
the special positional place that Māori Wahine have. We are the holders of whakapapa. So I'm a Māori Wahine. I'm also an ex-smoker. I'm a mother, and I will hopefully one day be a grandmother. And so I'm absolutely behind this because I don't want my mokopuna to experience intergenerational harm of this killer product. At the end of the day, it doesn't belong on these shores. And I'm totally, I applaud Minister Verrill in the bold move that she's taken. It's taken a wee while. 11 years we've been waiting since the Māori Affairs Select Committee inquiry by our stalwarts such as Tariana and Hone and all of those that have come before me, and it is my duty to serve our communities that need it the most. That's our Māori communities, our Pacific communities, and our communities that are in those low socioeconomic communities. I have to do that. I am a server to them, and therefore I need to support every single mechanism and every public health policy that I can get to stop people dying, stopping a whole township of Putaruru dying every single year.
How much of a fight do you think you're going to have on your hands? Because submissions can come from anywhere, and tobacco companies, I'm sure, will have a view on this.
Oh, absolutely, because we are risking their bottom line, right? And if we are going to take some of these bold actions, we're going to be world-leading, and we will then open up the opportunity for other countries to follow our lead. I think that if we lead this from an Indigenous perspective, because we know Indigenous communities across the globe are impacted the same way, if not more possibly, than what our Māori communities are, if we take that step in the right direction and be world leaders, that would be integral to opening up that opportunity for other Indigenous populations across the world.
Thanks for joining us this evening. That's Salah Hart, who's the kaiwhakahaere of the Māori Public Health Provider, Hapai Te Hauora.